And we need to educate ourselves on outreach programs.
Yes.
Educate our young people, and we need more sweat lodges.
Yeah.
Sweating is good.
Oh, yeah.
It really purifies the body.
And, oh.
When I was out on Navajo Reservation, a brother of mine, Navajo, we used to sweat all the time. And I lived out on the Navajo Reservation, so I know what it's like. Gallup, New Mexico, they call it the watering hole, checkerboard state. And come in once a month to get groceries and then back out the reservation. What do you do? There was a little bar coming from Window Rock to Gallup, New Mexico. New Mexico called Sagebrush, and that's where you stop to get your six pack or whatever. But one year they had a big outbreak of a bubonic plague, and they said, we've never heard of bubonic plague. Well, they called the CDC in, and what happened was the Navajos call them glonies, the drunks. They would get drunk and they'd stagger out in the sagebrush, and they'd get hungry. And they'd see a little peri dog, and boy, they'd cook it up. They'd eat, and they found out that the ticks and fleas were jumping off of the rodent onto them, biting them, and that's where they got their bubonic plague. And when you see an 11-year-old come into Indian Health Service that has cirrhosis of the liver, 11 years old, really makes you wonder. It's big.
Introduce yourself so they know.
Hanley Short, I'm a Kiowa, and I retired from the state of Oklahoma, the Department of Mental Health, 27 years. So I know what the mental health problem is. The problem that we had is that we were sending our Indian people to Texas for treatment, spending a lot of money. But, you know, our Indian people, I think they do better and they communicate better when they're with other Indians in treatment. And we need more treatment programs for our Indian people, not to go to the white man's treatment, but our own Indian treatment. And there's good medicine men too that can help. Mm-hmm. And if you ever hear anybody say, "I have no hope," that is the biggest red light that you'll ever hear. They're telling you they're going to kill themselves.
Yeah.
And so we do have to listen to our young ones. They cry out every day. This is who we need to save.
Mm-hmm.
Our young ones. And we're going to. We're going to educate them and show them that there's a better way of life. Yeah. And the best way of life is going back to our tribe and improving it, making it better for us.
Yeah.
Don't let them take our sovereign immunity. Don't let them do some of the things that they're doing. Stay strong. Stay together. Persevere. And always keep Dog Key, number one.
I mean, I appreciate those words, Hanley, and some of those things when you're speaking, going back, is it people like us are trying to spread awareness, even though I'm nobody. I just try to do what I can to help others. Like Spencer, I know he's trying and humbly tried and just bringing awareness. Is that something that you guys think is needs to be better within each tribe? Because Spencer smokes a lot, and you know, Brother Hanley, we know the kind of conditions of the Kiowa people, the things that affect us, you know, and it's nationwide. Because up in Yakima, I don't know what kind of issues you guys deal with, but I'm pretty sure you're going to deal with the same issues that we have that colonization has done to us. It's devastated our tribes. You know, this new way of life really started devastating our tribes, and many of us just growing up, you know, I had an uncle who committed suicide, hung himself outside of my grandma's house there in Hall Creek. You know, these are things that, you know, I've had other relatives, even me. I have my own stories that I can share because I've done that. And I'm lucky that there's been people who did what they could and got me the help and were willing to sit down. And the fact of the matter was it was other tribal members who were really concerned. And sometimes that we turn our backs on our own people because of what we think what we want or what we need is better. And that focus shouldn't be like that. So, 'cause for us, we're getting really serious on here. But this is, to me, it's okay. It's the awareness that we're supposed to speak because all of us, you know, brother up there in Yakima country, you know, what are some of the things that faces and hurts your community that you're able to speak of that you know is that really is a forefront of what has to change so our survival, like brother said, on sovereign immunity and protecting those things. I mean, our cultures are the biggest things of what we have left. Being able to have our language, being able to have our songs, being able to have our dances, you know, up there, you know, you have in your longhouses in those society, you know, what are some things, brother, up there, Northern Smoke, some things that you know, that concerns that we need to bring awareness, because that's the key. Using platforms like this, we can be funny as all we want, but the seriousness is all of our tribes, we have issues that are very, very big and our tribes are struggling to get the message out and awareness of it. And for me, when I was a one of our former executives of our tribe, my research showed just in this area alone, opiates was the number one killer of all of our youth. Opiates. Yeah. That means a lot of our folks are getting the prescription drugs. You know, you can go to the Indian hospital and they'll just, you know, they'll write you a prescription and they don't even ask you. And then you watch them, they'll go and sell it to their own who are struggling with these. And those are some of the things that are part of the opiate problems that why are they just giving you prescriptions just to go and you're not using those. You're selling it. And they're selling that money and they're taking that money and they're buying alcohol or they're gambling. So basically, it's more than one problem that it's causing. Besides the suicides, besides the drug addictions, besides that, you know, that's one of the reasons that, you know, I did that research because we have suicide prevention things and some of the numbers that are here in Oklahoma are pretty astronomical for our youth. This is one of the highest states for suicide amongst youths. And those are kind of things. And Northern Smokes, I want to kind of get some of your thoughts on that, especially up there, because up in Brenny, Montana too, brother. You know, the Northern Cheyennes. I imagine your relatives and in-laws. That's something that they got to fight with too. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
So, with the Yakima Nation, you know, we do suicide marches. They've been having them more recently, and I'm very happy to say that we're bringing more awareness with suicide awareness. And through our programs here, we have the Tanawit, the alcohol program. So we can go there and get treatment and talk to other natives, as you were saying, and feel more comfortable. But at the same time, there's still that uncomfortable feeling when people are judging you when you're in there, and I've been in there once. I'm trying to be as anonymous as I can, but I'm gonna share this because I was there, because I was treated that way. Well, as I was treated differently, like I wasn't as if we had a different problem. So it was just weird, but I'm sure it's changed since the last 10 years. That's how long it's been since I was over there. But I'm sure it's changed, you know, hopefully progressively better. I know they've been working hard on doing that and bringing more awareness. And they have the behavioral health here, you know, to help as well. Another issue, the missing and murdered Indigenous women and people. That's been going on since probably time immemorial. Who knows? You know, Man, my thought is that it's people that we know, maybe, possibly, you know, that have done these things to these people, and maybe they were, you know, not in a good way, but we got to bring that back. We got to keep, you know, this is why we're doing this here, you know, talking with each other, you know, across, you know, geez, what, 1600 miles to go get to Lawton, you know, shoot.
Right.
So I can't just.
Even Brother Hanley, you've been at 25 years in the health service, different things. What are some things that you think tribes, and it sounds like the Yakima tribe, and Brother up there in Montana, what are some things that you might be able to explain after Hanley talks about ways to bring them? Because these things are serious issues. When I was an executive, when I brought out these numbers, they had no clue that that problem was that large. And I think that's the issue, is we're not talking about it enough.
Right.
What are some things that we can do? And I want to go ahead and speak, Smokes and Lot, because, you know, brother here, he's got 25 years in the health field, and he's worked in this kind of situations. And I'd like to hear some thoughts from you as well, because that, to me, the only way to help us get better as Indian people is to start addressing these together. No, we got to face this together. That's for me, that's my thought.
Native guy, when I can try to render the topic of this situation is, my in-laws, my Isadals, they have programs, they have outreach, they have, walks for their members. We had, murdered, young, I'm not going to say his name, or we had a couple murders of young men, a few, maybe one, and a lady, Cheyenne folks, you know, some of them, I knew one, and, you know, dearly, poor thing, I knew his grandpa was my brother-in-law, and kind of helped him with our ceremonial, the American Church Pilly Ways, you know, and it was kind of hard for that family, that what they had to go through, that and their sadness and grief of, it's in the endure of what's going on with our people today. You know, it's sad that Indians are killing Indians, or, natives are killing natives, you know, and Cheyennes killing Cheyennes, Yakima's killing Cheyennes, you know, Yakima's killing themselves. You know, it's sad, even our people, you know, and we, that mental health stage of what we all go through is the, awareness of attention, somebody to talk to, somebody to reach and render a voice, you know, hear my voice, this is my problem, how do I go about this? But, you know, it's, sometimes it's their family that either are too busy or are into themselves, or they're, you know, and it's, you know, then, like you said, it's not aware until they're 6 feet and they feel bad, and they should have, they would have, could have, should have come out a little bit later. But, you know, it's a problem that they go through. You know, we all Native Americans, I can kind of say this is, we all go through some form of PTSD or some form of, depression, that our old folks, that, you know, they were tough. Got to think about it, you know, maybe they had more tougher things to think about, and what they had to see the change of into us, and then during the future, maybe they're, you know, they had party problems, but, you know, they, it's sad that we rendered and turned down to alcohol and drugs to numb the feeling or to numb that part. You know, my way of thinking and my way of looking at it is, these kids, you know, I was trying to go to school for be a youth, get my AA degree and being a youth counselor, and trying to go back and help the people of the Cheyenne, or the, you know, my people of my own, and show them, you know, how to pray, how to, it's okay to talk, it's okay to render a voice, it's okay to sweat, it's okay to, you know, say something about what you're going through or what's your problem, for our youth today, even to our grown people that struggle. You know, I'm not trying to be a out Dr. Phil here or somebody here, but they need our Native people. They go through a way different segment of depression than a lot of others that we all go through, like, you know, and the Blacks go through maybe a rougher, you know, outreach, or the, you know, we all go through different types, and it's all different outbursts of how we take it, you know, and our, how we do it day by day, you know, is to pray, you know, that's the main source is, you know, pray to Dalkey, pray to Creator, pray to Mahayo, pray to good things for better days and better outcoming of, you know, ourselves, not ourselves, but for our struggles, for everybody, you know, that, you know, we all struggle, you know, we're not perfect, and nothing ain't no prairie on the grass and roses and Bambi hopping around. No, man, it's depression is it's a secret enemy. It's a enemy that some people don't want to talk or hear because it's so touchable basis about how we really are as Native people. Because, man, we did a lot of goddamn killing on them Tacoys, and did a lot of lost our people for what we did, and had to be on reservation. Can't roam around, you know. That's where, you know, maybe that was the, you know, why we are the way we are today of all tribes. You know, we're so used to roaming what we want to do or camp where we wanted to camp, but, you know, that's what I'm, my perspective of thinking of, not knowledge but oral teaching of hearing things how we are today, Okiowa, you know, and every tribe, you know, Yakimas, they once were a big fighting tribe, and then all of a sudden they had to change their ways just like us, you know. They had to render and be humble just to save their people. And look at us today, of all tribes of Kiowas, and look at my Ishtadal state. They ran from the Fort Robinson. They didn't want to be down there. They took off. We should have done that too, man. We should have goddamn ran back to Montana or Yellowstone.
We got caught, boy.
We were too loud.
We didn't cover our tracks good enough.
big Kiowa feet. They didn't cover our tracks, man.
And that's the good thing about Native America, because we get serious, but we'll also throw in that laughter, because that's what heals us. So, yes. You know, I want to get brother's thoughts on this, because, again, in the health field, you're pretty knowledgeable about these things and just working on different tribes and just even around in our areas. What are your thoughts on what we've just been talking about, especially how, because we need to be, like I mentioned, we need to be able to talk about this openly. And when we put this live for people, hopefully they'll listen to this part, because it's very, to me, I learned something from my brother. I didn't know you had that much knowledge, but again, that's just listening. That's being able to listen, because these experiences they're sharing, they're real. They're real experiences that all of us have been through in our lives, and you know, we're not all old, we're not all young, but we've seen things that we probably shouldn't have, and that's just carrying weights on us and being able to take these weights. Is that some things that in the health field that we're supposed to be able to talk about? Go ahead and talk on this a little bit, Hanley.
It's affected every family, every one of us. Somehow it's affected us. What we need to do is, our younger ones need to become social workers. We need doctors. Once we get social workers in and we start our own program, then we need to look at subcontracting a psychiatrist. That psychiatrist's signature on the chart brings a lot of money in. We can run our own programs. The Comanches have a good program right now. The Kiowas, we need to start up a program. We need to start some outreach programs. There are none right now. I mean, if you want help, you go to Anadarko. Comanche's got an outreach program. Outreach program here in Lawton. Wichita's, right. And a big problem I see in Lawton is the homeless, the Indians that are homeless on the streets. And that shouldn't be. And if you get and you talk to them, then you know that there's a dysfunctional, the family's dysfunctional. And because the family's dysfunctional, our biggest issue that we're facing today is the Child Welfare Act. And the Child Welfare Act is in jeopardy. And if that happens, our Indian children will be placed with non-Indians. It's happening now. And is that good or is it? Is it? I mean, you can hear both sides of it. But the child needs to know their culture, their tradition.
Yes.
And we need to teach them that.
Right.
We have a lot of work to do. We're still not there. But are the casinos, you know, here's another issue. What about casinos? Has that exacerbated the drinking among the Indians?
Right.
I mean, I go get free play.
You
get free play, it draws me in. If it draws the Indians in, it's drawing the other people in. But we're doing it as, well, this is a business. Well, also, it's a business, but we need to take a portion of that and start looking at the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Addressing that problem. Like I said, it's hit me. It's hit my family.
Gambling is an addiction, too.
Gambling is addiction. Yes, it is.
It is.
And I saw a lady come into a convenience store, and she was crying. And this lady asked her what was wrong. She says, I don't know how I'm going to tell my husband, but I just lost the whole paycheck, and I can't pay the mortgage. I don't know what to tell him. And she says, you go home and tell him you lost it, and you take that credit card and put it up. And if you're gonna, if you're going to go gamble, you take $20, and when you lose that $20, you leave.
Yes, sir.
And if you can't do that, then you need to seek help. But I think with today and the times, it's exacerbating the problems even greater amongst our Indians with the inflation of prices of food, like you said, eggs, cattle. So we have to get smart, and we have to start saying, okay, what do we start doing? Let's start raising cattle. You know, I come down here, I come here to Lawton, and I go by Texas Roadhouse every night. It's full,
full.
And I go, and I'm going, why don't we raise cattle, sell it to our casino, sell it to our elderly program, and why don't we open up a Indian steakhouse?
Yeah.
Let's start looking at the business aspect of bringing the revenue in and letting the tribes prosper. It's time that we prosper. I'm tired of sitting on the back of the bus.
Yeah.
People have got off the back of the bus, and the Indians they might be in the middle of the bus now.
I think we're pushing it.
Well, I think we have to push it more. And this is our time to move forward.
I think, no, we're not.
Well.
In a way of form, you know, talking, that's right. You know, we all have addictions, different types, you know, and we all have that gambling addiction. And then, but we can all just flip that and change it into a different segment of, into our people, like a steakhouse, a gas station, a suitable gas station. I mean, it will have jobs for our people. It will have jobs for the people.
Let me throw something at you. Because, again, you guys know I'm a business. I have business degrees. And everything I'm hearing, they're great things. But here's an economic principle for you that really a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah.
In order to gain something, you have to give up something.
Right.
Do you think that's an issue of we don't want to give up something to gain something far better? Do you guys understand that principle? So if you want to gain listeners, I have to give up sitting around at home, and I have to go tell people to listen to this. It's the same thing in business principles. If you want to build a steakhouse, well, we have to give up saying we're going to build a steakhouse, and we're going to have to go look at the numbers. We're going to have to run some numbers. And in order to reach those numbers, we're going to have to figure out what it's going to take to get that gain. And the same thing when we're talking about these addictions, it's the same way.
Yes.
In order for
right.
us to come overcome these things, we have to give up. And what does it mean? We have to give up our pride.
Yes.
And who we think we are and telling ourselves, because some of the biggest things that I've learned in business in order to gain, and people
yes.
don't understand this principle very well in economics, in order to grow, you have to give up what's making you not grow. So if you know that the addiction is the problem, you have to give it up. In order to gain something better, you have to give it up. If you don't give it up, you will never gain. And that's a basic economic principle that you guys can learn and share. Because say you wanted to gain a lot of followers on your website or whatever you're doing. Well, how are you going to do that? What do you got to give up? Well, you got to give up some of your time to gain these followers.
Right.
Because if you don't make time to get followers, you're not really giving up anything.
Right.
You're just waiting for somebody to do the work for you. And do you think those are some of the issues of why we're not addressing? Because, again, for me as a business person, I can go look at any business, and I'm going to ask a few questions, and I can already figure out what the problem is just by looking. And some people, they might not be able to do that. And it's like, well, that's kind of conceived. But in reality, in business, when you study it in long enough, you understand what's going on, why it's going on, where the problem started, how it got here, and why we need to change it. We answer those five questions, and we put together these models to help us get to that. And that's the economic principle. You know, we call it the price parity model, the three P's. So if you want to gain, like I say, if we're going to do anything and learn, like I say, I'm glad to teach people business anytime they want. But you got to understand, if you want to learn how to grow your business, you got to give up stuff. For me, I've had to give up thinking that I'm going to do something, and I had to go out to gain and show people and tell people and give them these ideas and show them. And that's the only way, because businesses don't grow by our thoughts. They grow by what you are able to tell others and get them to know. And that's the same thing with what's going on for me. And that's my opinion about tribes and why they're not growing is because they're not giving up the things that they know aren't working. Instead
right.
of going for the gain, they're not giving up what's not working anymore, and they keep trying to throw the same philosophies, and they're regurgitating old ideas when they're not working. So in order to gain something, we have to give up the things that aren't working anymore. And do you think that works with addictions as well, the same thing, the principles?
I know today on the political realm, I know this for a fact, is that if you have been to a treatment program inpatient, and it's documented on your chart, if you've been in an inpatient program one time, then you need to look, really sit down and look, that individual, you need to look and say, I need to go and get paperwork, and I need to fill out paperwork and apply for SSI. And people go, well, I don't want that money. Well, the way you look at it is, that if you don't have anything, at least you got $900 a month, and it gives you SNAP, it gives you insurance, and it gives you money you didn't have. Now, if you didn't have that, that person would be coming in the ER every weekend running up an astronomical bill.
Right.
But if they have SSI and they go in the emergency room, at least that emergency room is going to recoup the cost. And right now, another problem is that we have a lot of Indians that are incarcerated, and they're getting out in the reentry program. Well, now, in the new DSM, I think it's the new DSM-5, they have put a diagnosis on people that have been incarcerated as PTSD.
Right.
Well, back then, we used to call it shell shock in the 70s. But now they call it PTSD, which qualifies the individual to receive SSI. And I had a nephew I took in, and he stayed with me. And I said, listen, brother, let me help you. I said, you don't have anything. But I says, if I die, you don't have anywhere to go. But I said, let me push you. Let me get the paperwork. Let's put it in and let me get SSI. Then that way, you're not depending on me. At least you have a little something if I'm not here.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get our people to think that way. It's not welfare. You have three branches of Social Security. You got Social Security, you got Social Security Disability, and you got Social Security Supplemental Income. There are three different areas. And so anybody that has an addiction needs to look at possibly putting the paperwork in for SSI. It's not going to, it'll help the individual, and it'll also help the burden of the family, because we're going to take care of them. I'm going to take care of my brother regardless. If he's hungry, I'll feed him. If he's cold, I'll give him my coat. But if I can educate him and I teach him to fish, he'll eat forever.
I love that.
Wow.
I mean,
I love that, man.
I mean, we've been getting deep on this, and these subjects are
perfect, because again, I don't know how often we hear these subjects talk. Most of the time, I mean, around here we got a lot of political stuff or different things, cultural. But when we go into deep subjects like this, it's kind of, again, we don't discuss them because it's taboo. But here we've got different tribal members, different ones from different nations. And again, you guys could all agree, we all go through similar experiences in life. We all see trauma. We've all seen it. We've all know somebody's depressed. Me, I know people who've tried to take their lives, who have taken their lives that we've had to bury. I know people who've been in and out of these treatment centers. I you know, there's things that I myself have gone through. And the fact of the matter is, instead of hiding these and carrying these burdens like we are, like Haley, you said, shouldn't we be helping each other and help carry these burdens of each other so we don't have to go through these things, so we can at least help our brother and sister rise up? What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Well,
yeah. I'll share.
Yeah, go ahead.
So my thought on this is that it's all connected to culture again. It comes back. I mean, if you look at it, I've noticed some things over here in Yakima that there used to be more hand games over here, you know, when it got colder, you know, and I think it's connected, you know, to over there, to hand games and seasonal and culture. That culture is being lost. That culture is being not taught for some reason. I don't know if it's because of disconnect or is it just because the families don't get along with each other. And, you know, it shouldn't be that way. I think, you know, we need to, like, humble ourselves and say, hey, you know, no one's better than the next. Mm-hmm. We're all the same. We're all indigenous. We're all, you know, we're all from, you know, connection, you know, from the, you know, colonizers, from the movements, from the, you know, from our ways, that how the people, you know, we used to have to battle. We used to have to, you know, like we were talking about that, and we're still battling. We're battling different things now, and it's not war, but it's addiction. It's these things, these ways of life that are next to us. I mean, I'm 10 miles down the road from the casino. I can go there right after this conversation and play $20.
We're about 4 or 5 miles here, so again, I get. I mean,
about 20 miles.
So we all have those things that we can connect with. That's the thing.
Wow. And I had a comment. I had a comment on that. That, you know, about that SSI. Man, I didn't know that. You know, I could do that. I've been there more than once, and but I just remember the last time was 10 years ago.
Well,
so.
what Hope really opened it up was the fentanyl problem that developed back east around Philly and Jersey and through there. Well, during that time, Trump was in office, and there was such a great outcry because people in Philadelphia, they were going out and they were finding their children that were dead on playgrounds because they were picking up the residual off of fentanyl and it was killing them. So Donald Trump pumped all this money in mental health. And then as he left office and the political structure changed, then all this money's there. And it changed the dynamics of mental health. And so our big problem right here in the state of Oklahoma is fentanyl. It's a very big problem. And that is the devil of devil.
Yes,
I agree.
And we're seeing kids that are psychotic, don't know what they're doing, that are shooting at the police or shooting at somebody that's not there. And it's devastating the families. And so on the Comanche tribe, we can go over here and get, what is that called? It's an antidote that you can carry with you. And if you see somebody that's taking fentanyl and they're seizing and they're dying, you can shoot them with it and it'll save their life.
Some adrenaline, huh?
Uh-huh.
Adrenaline dope?
I can't remember what the name of it is, but you can go over to the Comanche tribe and get you and carry what it is. It's the nasal spray you can spray in.
Oh.
But it's saving lives.
Man, I think Yakima is still catching up because it just hit us like the last couple of years, even during the pandemic, and it was just it's been bad the last 2 years. That fentanyl, that's been terrible. It somehow made it over here now to Washington State. So,
And the pandemic affected us because what happened is that with our addiction, instead of getting out from the house, we were all contained in a house. So what happened? You saw brother, sister, maybe they were doing drugs in their room. Maybe they were drinking. So now you really got to see it.
Wow. I mean, that never thought about it that way, but that exasperated me even more. Wow.
And so I just look at when you see a brother or sister there that need help, we should help them.
Yeah.
What are we here for? Our time is very short. Our time is to help our brothers and sisters.
Wow, this is a great topic. Matter of fact, I think
if we had time, we would spend more time on this subject because it's eye opening. It's very getting different ones who understand. All of us, you know, me, Smokes a Lot, and Northern Smokes. We all overcome different things. We all know that. We've been through, because we all partied together. We were all at Haskell. We were young at one time, but our families and the change of circumstances and these different things that we've experienced, even you, Anley, we instead of talking about it like we are here openly, a lot of us hide that stuff and carry it. I mean, again, I can tell you, I'm a survivor. People don't know that about me. I'm a survivor. I'm going to share my story about my survivorship because for me, you know, when I was young, before I went to college, this is before college and everything, before I turned myself around, I you know, those Haskell and all them, they prescribe ibuprofen 800 milligrams no matter what's going on to you. Well, one time, I don't know what was going on or who the female was or whatever, but I got to a point where I took 30 of those 800 milligram pills in one setting. And the only reason why I'm here is because whatever it was, I told my dad, I said, Dad, I just took 30 of these pills. And by the time he left, because he was at work at Haskell, and Haskell is about a mile and a half away from where I lived, and he was at my house he just clocked out of the minute he heard that. And I'm glad that my father had that much care and love to just leave work immediately and took me to the hospital. And you know, they pumped that out of me. They put something up my nose and they got that all out of me. But if I would have hesitated five more minutes, I wouldn't be having this conversation with y'all today. That's the reality that we face, some of us. You know, we get to that point. We do those things. But for me, whatever it was that made me call my dad, that's why I'm here today. Those are some of the things that people understand, that you get to those point in life, and sometimes instead of talking to others about it, we go to those extremes. And it doesn't mean that we have no hope. It just means nobody's looking at what we're going through and understanding and actually empathizing with us. You know, for me, being raised religious, you always hear empathy, But in reality, that's probably where a lot of my depression came from, because instead of being empathetic in the church, they made me feel guilty over some of these things. And it was outside of the church that I found ones who weren't treating me with disrespect or with some of these issues of depression or some things that we all go through. It was outside of these churches. And for me, that was an eye opener. Because again, like I say, I'm a survivor. I was in my 20s when that happened. I mean, I'm in my 40s right now. So again, for me, I'll always share that story because people don't know why I'm the way I am. And that's the reason, because I got a second chance. And I know others who had a second chance, and instead of doing good things with it, they're right now killing themselves through alcoholism, our drug addictions, our pill popping. That's where it hurts. Because for me, I said, look, some of us fought hard so you can be here, and now we've got to watch it. And when we open up and talk about it, we're pushed off. So there's this balancing act we have to figure out too. Would you agree with that? Because again, you don't have to share your story. I'm happy to share that story if it helps somebody understand. You don't have to get to that point. If you are, tell somebody. Tell them immediately so we can get you some help, because anybody who listens to this later, you're important to me. You're important to all of this panel. You're always important. Any other Native person who might have those thoughts, you're important to us. We want you every day because you're the one who's going to help us save what's going on. That's the message I want to share, because again, we all lose hope. Do you agree? We've all lost hope, and instead some of us have got to the extremes where we can't tell that person who's no longer here no more with us because we didn't get to them in time. And sometimes that guilt feeling bothers us. But that's what, you know, again, we're getting serious on this, but it's an important topic to me because it's serious, because we're not the only ones who've gone through this. I know there's different ones. When they hear this, maybe it will help them understand that you have hope. There are ones who want you to make it. Maybe we just need to do a better job of letting people know that. And that's probably some of the things that I get angry with, because I see different ones struggling. And just, you need to know, you know, you three, everybody here listening, I want you to make it. I want you to see. But don't I always tell you, I want you to be better than me. That's something I know I've always told y'all that. I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be better than me, because you deserve it. That's my thought. How about y'all?
Well, my thought, my input, just don't go tear it. Just make sure you got old paper. Make sure we always have Ace on in the refrigerator. Make sure Kool-Aid's filled up. Make sure it's not. No. Make sure we have eggs in the morning. Yeah. Make sure we get our own cattle and Senatio and get by 12 Senatios around the yard and some pee going on, some kidneys every morning, fry them up. But you know, in a way, sense, that's right, though. You know, we do render that. You know, we do render of guidance, you know, as Native American people. Like, you know, we kind of always try and reminisce as the leadership of us today is how did those old chiefs did it, or how did they made it through being where we are at today. You know, and they didn't die and suffer for us to kill ourselves with the addictions that those Talkoys bring us, you know, and those addictions that we get from a different world or different ways, you know. They, you know, our old chiefs, our old people, you know, they fought too hard for where we're at today. They didn't want us to, you know, you know, stick ourselves with that needle with the fentanyl or smoking that meth, or you know, they fought too hard and died for what we see and hear about our people, and then it's sad. And then they fought too hard and died for not us killing ourselves, and you know, suicide. And you know, they think about it, about those treaties, you know, and it's scary times. They they always talk about these times now, but the old people, our own Kiowa, or how would you say, not calendar, but predictions, you know, and they call it same day, or they call it the future. And they're I was hearing stories from my grandma, from her mother-in-law. You know, they were talking in Kiowa, and they were saying, well, we're going to live in the future where we have to survive and we have to keep going with our ways. Who's going to carry these songs, or who's going to carry these prayers? Who's going to carry these ways of family, of being who we are today? Who's, you know, in Kiowa, my grandma, you know, she's a whole, the creator, Thal Kid, she's 95, you know, still in Mears, Oklahoma, and she, you know, has stories about, you know, those old people saying, well, there's going to be a box, Dongya, a box with people inside, and there's going to be some type of whining button or turning. And any day, you know, she was talking about that TV, and then she said, well, there's going to be something like up in the air that's loud, and have people up there. We don't belong up there. And any day, she's talking about those planes, you know, stuff like that. Those old people were kind of, you know, predicting the future of us today. And one of the thoughts they don't want to talk about or render up is what we're going through today, was alcoholism, drugs, the new and scary addictions for our people. You know, it's hurting all of us today, you know. The suicide, drugs, alcohol, families, you know. I was fortunate to be a foster, Northern Cheyenne, Montana State foster parent for one of my children here, to what we got from, you know, the tribe. And what I'm saying is, when he came to our home, you know, it's a learning experience, and he went through a lot of stuff that, you know, I'm not going to say his name, but, you know, he went through a lot of stuff, you would say. And, you know, the kids that they shouldn't went through, that grown-ups went through with, you know, these type of situations we're talking about, you know. And what I'm getting at is that render a help of being a family, who I am with these youth and these kids and my family, my children here, you know, that are given to me by showing how to be in a way of life, to be non-toxic, you know, we don't want to be another skeptic of a Native family that, you know, party, drinks, and snag around, or does this and that, but, you know, or have addiction. Me and my wife, we pursue of a different outlook of a Native family, as a mom and a dad, a prayer way of family. We try to keeping it alcohol and drug-free in our home all the time. We do, and have our kids and keep them safe and be normal, you know, and always have cooked food and always have things for them, you know, be the lucky ones. And then my nephew, he had a hard time to adjust that and doing this. And then it's just all because how those old folks are talking, you know, they're predicting the future of us today. We have to stand up. We have to, you know, we have to help our people, not ourselves this time. It's the people, it's our youth, it's our kids. And, to prosper in a better life, what they always prayed about, you know, for us in a teepee, in a church, Sundance Lodge, or even fasting. They, you know, old people that prayed for us, those old ones that care for us, love us, you know, those old people that you really miss, you want them back, you know, those ones, you know. And, you know, all of us here today, you know, we try to render and live those prayers. We trying to open that heart to help others, not ourselves. You know, they were old people. They were never selfish people. They were always open-handed to help others. They were nice. They were gentle. They were kind-hearted, God-fearing elders back in them days, you know. And I miss that. I miss that. You know, I took the knowledge of, well, if they're encouraging me to do and prosper better and do better what they're praying for us, well, it's, well, we should turn into our youth, our kids, our family. And that's where it starts, is our home. You know, you got to always have your own home body, where you come from, where, how you want to keep it, how you look at that, you know, the way you want to be. You know, it's your family, you know, it comes to your family first, and to others, to help others, you know. And then when that season comes, another seed that they want, well, let them, you know, help, you know, let's see if they can help our situation out. Maybe they can come over and pray at our home. Look at how wonderful that family is. Well, have them come pray for at our house, you know. Then you have to go over there and then, you know, and stay a little bit and, you know, hang out with them and tie up, drum, cook, and they just need that good vibe, they call it, that vibeness, and, you know, that they need that good spirit, you know, and in order of that, you know, we, as a Native American family today, we have, as young people, those old people that talk about, you know, is not, don't be toxic, you know, is be a good way and live a good life and, you know, do what's right, you know, don't do what's wrong, you know, guiding our kids today, you know, our kids are all over the streets of maybe in the cities, Native kids, you know, and Native kids are all reservation, house to house, partying, drugging. We know those are the ones in our future that we really have to render and look out for, you know, at, you know, prosper of looking of our people, you know, it's our kids and the elders that we have today, go to their homes, go sit there with them, drink coffee with them, go, you know, they sit there and then they get tend to forget, you know, people, they have their own depression and this, that light of day or walking in their home and talking to them for 5 to 2 hours, you know, that brings their enlightenment of life, the enlightenment of living longer, enlightenment of wanting to be good, you know, help people. But, you know, more you ignore the elders, more you're going to ignore the youth and the kids. Well, where are we going to be at 10 years? Where are we going to be at 20 years? Are we still going to be around? Are we going to sit here and fight the fight of today? What's going on? You know, you don't know.
No, I challenge every elder to be a mentor to someone. Our elderly people, sometimes we get to a point where we feel like we've worked, we're retired, and they put us out to pasture, and we're just grazing, and nobody cares about us. But we dig down deep, and we say, you know what? I still have knowledge, and I want to pass this knowledge on. So let me mentor our younger ones and tell them what they need to be aware of, what to look out for.
Yeah.
So we've been having a pretty powerful discussion, and we've been going for a while. And Trent, do you have any part of this for the last? I want to give you the last part of this, and then we'll end this discussion for the moment. But powerful, powerful discussion. What are your thoughts on what we've been talking?
Yeah, man, I think it ties in all of our subjects today that we're talking about this final segment here, but to me, yeah, you know, it all comes down to guidance. And I want to share an experience real quick about when I was in the longhouse. I think I was about 9, maybe 10. I was just learning how to dance, and I was just learning, you know, learning how to just starting out. I took some, took some time for me to watch people, and they had a longhouse, you know, celebration. It was for New Year's Eve. They had like a community thing, but long story short, I was, I had evil looks in that longhouse from people, you know, that were supposed to be my mentor. They were older than me. They were, you know, probably well in their 50s, maybe 60s. I'm not sure. But I didn't really know how old they were, but they were giving me mean looks and just ugly, just, you know, my own people, my own longhouse, it's supposed to be welcoming. And I had that experience, and I had to share that, you know, that hurt. Then that's probably where all my, you know, trauma started. I mean, within, it started from within.
And that does happen. I mean, that hits home for me too, because again, I've been around my people, and right now I sometimes just feel like, why am I here? Why did y'all bring me here? Just to put me down, Jiminy Crickets.
Yeah.
You know, and that's powerful statement. So Boy, howdy, we're going to end our discussion on that, and we're going to pick up again like we do, and hopefully we'll have our other guests, and we're going to bring them in. Hanley, I'd like you to come in more and visit with us tomorrow and be that extra voice for us, because, again, these topics are important, and we've been talking with Northern Smokes from the Yakima Tribe there in Washington with Smokes a Lot there, Kiowa by way of the Northern Cheyenne and Brenny, Montana, and where me and Brother Hanley are in Lawton, Oklahoma on the KCA reservation, and just talking about some very powerful information that, you know, we're not going to be silent. It's kind of like our MMIW. We don't want no more stolen sisters either. We don't want any of these things. We want to improve the lives of our people, and it's just discussions like this. I mean, we can always agree to disagree politically, but in life, when it comes to my fellow brother and sisters of our indigenous people, they matter more to me than the politics, because I'd rather see our next generations rise and continue to rise so our people can grow and build better futures. That's what we want. All of us want something better. We don't want what we have. We want the next generation to have better. That's what I want. That's why I do the things that I do, because I want my next generation of kids to have something that, you know, we worked on this so we can be better communicators to each other, so we can help each other through some of these difficult things that we go through, so we can look at and say, hey, my brother doesn't deserve to be going through that. Let's go raise him up. That's the goal, and I'm glad that we have these discussions, and I want you guys to be back more often. We're going to do more of these, and they're not always going to be serious. We're going to go on different topics that are more lively, but for me, you don't hear topic, and if you do, I don't hear them very often or enough, and that's where we've got to do more and do better. So are there any closing thoughts? I'll give you each any closing thoughts. Go ahead. Smokes a Lot, give us 10 seconds closing thought.
All right. Well, I say this. Let's all have a good day, and let's all have a look for the better days to come, and let's all have a, you know, good talk. It was a good session of talking what the topics are about for are affecting our Native American people today, and I believe that, you know, we can prosper into something in the near future to have maybe outreach of helping others by talking on here, and maybe it will help others mentally and maybe physically to do something better for themselves, you know. And we're all here together, and we're all here to care one another, you know, to help each other out, and that's what it is. This is about reality.
Northern Smokes. You know,
yeah, you know, I just want to say I appreciate each one of you for being here on this, you know, this session here, and you know, Think Native Guy and Smokes a Lot and Hanley. You know, the gentleman there, Hanley. Yes, Hanley. Thank you all. Thank you all for, you know, listening. So
we tried
sharing your good words and your good wisdom over there. I'm gonna look into that SSI stuff.
Okay, my motto is ending for endings, and my prayers are with all of you.
We chaw, and this is the host, the Native Guy. We thank our panel today, and we hope to bring you back on our next discussions. Hopefully, we'll get a little bit more lively, and we'll talk a little bit different things. But this has been the Live with the Native Guy. We appreciate our panel. And we'll see you on the next Somewhere Down on the Powwow Trail. Dance your style. We